Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Monday. We're getting close to the draft. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I am not talking Masters today. It put me to sleep. I may talk baseball. The Dodgers never lose. Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. A couple of weeks out from the draft. We're in mid-April. It's a very fun time. I've had people... So when I started doing this years and years and years ago, I've had a couple of friends. They're like, you're addicted to the draft. Like, you're crazy. Like, I like your show, but you're too into the draft. And now two of my friends are like, oh, my God, I love the draft. And I'm like, if you like college football, the NFL, it's the meeting spot.
Like, well, I think the draft has also become so much more important because of the way that free agency has changed and the way that quarterbacks are moving around now. So people are just
making deals
and dealing, and it's made the draft so much more important.
Joy, I think you and I talked about this last week. The NFL is the king. Like, if I did a show in Canada, I would talk 85% hockey. That's what TSN does in Canada. If I was in London, you and I were, we'd talk 90% English Premier League.
Right.
We talk about 65% NFL, but if you count the draft, it's up to about 75%. And the truth is, the American public loves the draft. It will beat the NBA, baseball, and hockey first-round playoffs. Forget regular season ratings. It'll beat their playoff ratings, so it's very, very close. I want to talk about this, though. Everybody's talking about these quarterbacks. So this is anything you are good at, Joy is good at, I am good at, anything you're good at, you will lean into. My wife is a great cook. Her family has a restaurant background. She loves to cook. She loves to throw parties. Why? Because she's a great cook. She gets to show off. We're all like this, right? If you have a great personality, you'd like to socialize. If you're buff, you like to go to the gym, wear a medium shirt. If you're super smart, you know, you like to throw your intellect around on the internet to show off to people. Whatever you're good at, you will lean into. It's very human. We all do it. So I was listening to this. Mark Sanchez, who I think does a great job as a broadcaster, and he was on the Pat McAfee show, and he talked about Zach Wilson, about how he thrives in chaos. And it's really interesting what he says. But let me ask you, as he describes Zach Wilson, would you want this as your starting NFL quarterback?
He thrives in chaos. Meaning when the pocket starts to close down, like, that's when he comes alive. Okay. He's not your typical, you know, five steps, hitch, rhythmic kind of guy. I love that. Yeah. I think he's like Brett Favre-ish, but for a coordinator, you just have to know what you're signing up for, right? Like, as soon as that ball snap, you might not know exactly where it's going, but good chance it's going to the right spot.
Well, Brett Favre's the greatest guy in chaos ever. He's the all-time leader in interceptions. I don't want my quarterback to be that. Now, that's fun to watch, but that's not only Brett Favre, it's Johnny Manziel in the first 6 years of Michael Vick. And Michael Vick, a friend of mine, has admitted to me. I was so good at ad-libbing, I didn't really have to spend the extra time. And then Michael actually won more later when he became more of a pocket guy. Lamar Jackson, my criticism out of college was, he'll be fine and win games, but is he willing to sit in the pocket as it closes and not run? It's great to be good occasionally in chaos. Mahomes is. But Andy Reid makes sure he's not in chaos very much. And Mahomes, by the way, even this year in the playoffs, was banged up physically. That's what happens when you thrive in chaos. My quarterback's great in chaos is like saying, oh my, I'm going to marry this guy. He's great on vacation. That's like 1% of your marriage. Is he a good hang on a Tuesday night on the couch watching Netflix or Amazon Prime? That's marriage. If you're on a team that is in offensive chaos, you have a crappy coach. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees are almost never in chaos. Because they're so good at the line of scrimmage, Peyton Manning audibled out of chaos. Brett Favre didn't. Brett Favre was not the kind of quarterback intellectually that thrived with that. He was a gunslinger. By the way, Aaron Rodgers was Mr. Ad-Lib. He led the NFL for a couple years in throwaways. Jeff Saturday, his former center, said he would roll his eyes when Mike McCarthy sent a play in. He ad-libbed. It's interesting. He didn't get to the NFC Championship last couple years with McCarthy. Matt LaFleur comes in and says, stop ad-libbing. Play in rhythm. Make read, make throw. Oh, Aaron's been to back-to-back NFC Championships. And oh, by the way, just had his greatest year in a decade. Once Aaron got into rhythm and out of ad-libbing, he was a better quarterback. I mean, Aaron's losing now is not because of Aaron. It's because he didn't have the talent around him. And the other thing is, and if you're a public figure and quarterbacks now are like America's royal family, right, that the media falls in love with highlights. I mean, the media fell in love with Johnny Manziel. My scouts hated Johnny Manziel. He's not an NFL quarterback. He went in the first round. But the media falls in love with the left-handed pass and the behind-the-back pass. And it's a highlight world, YouTube world. But that's like half of 1%. I don't want Zach Wilson to be great in chaos. He's already going to an organization, the Jets, that are always in chaos. I don't want him to be in chaos. I want him to be in lockstep with a head coach and a system. You know, it Brett Favre threw an interception in every Packer playoff loss of his career. 9 times he didn't throw a pick. They were 9-0. It's Pete Carroll's number one criticism of Russell Wilson, that sometimes he creates his own chaos. You know, it's funny, my daughter, when she's in college, she's wrapping it up pretty soon. In her first year, we helped her lay out her schedule. And the first thing, if you have a kid in college, you find, you know, they take about 5 classes. But you got like one class is on Tuesday and Thursday, and one's on Wednesday, and then one is on Monday and Wednesday and Friday. And what you find is they have a lot of free time. In college, you have a lot of free time. If you schedule your classes, 1 o'clock, you're done. And so whenever a college kid says, oh, finals week is chaos, well, don't go to Sharky's on Tuesday night, because you got nothing but time in college to get those 5 courses done and those papers written on Wednesday, so you don't have to rush them in and write 19 papers on Saturday night. Most people, folks, that thrive in chaos create their own chaos. You ever notice that? You ever had a friend like that? They're always late. I have a good friend like that. He's late to everything. And he's a great guy, but he creates his own chaos. He's pretty good at it. But I don't want to live in chaos. I don't want my quarterback to be thriving in chaos. I'll never forget the Brett Favre when he goes to Minnesota, and they're really good, and they should have been in the Super Bowl. The reason they weren't in the Super Bowl was because Brett Favre was great in chaos. Do you remember this play?
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw. Why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Because Favre was addicted to chaos. He loved those moments. He often thrived in those moments. But that's not how you win Super Bowls. By the way, my guess is Aaron Rodgers will win another Super Bowl. And ultimately, it will be in a rhythmic offense. Like Breeze, like Manning, like Brady, like Eli. The runaround guys don't win them. Well, what about Mahomes? Mahomes doesn't run around that much. 99% of his touchdown passes are not in chaos. I'm not here for it. And even if you're great at it, if you are great at anything, you will lean into it and go to your life and your family and your friends. The people that's lives are always like on the edge. They create their own issues. They create their own speed and chaos and trouble and headaches. And then often complain. They're victims. Nobody's here to help me. We've tried, brah. We've tried. Leave earlier for the airport. That's why you keep missing flights. We've tried.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
In recent history, that in the media, we fall for this. I'll just speak for myself. The glitzy offense, Gonzaga basketball. But when the glitzy offense, Gonzaga basketball, meets the great, tough defense, Baylor, look what happens. The glitzy offense, Kansas City, faces the in-your-face defense, Tampa. Ask Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers how that went last year, 0-3. Power beats finesse. Because finesse doesn't make power uncomfortable physically or intimidated. It can often beat it. But tough and physical in the octagon, on a football field, or a basketball court can intimidate and take finesse out of their game. So the Lakers are a power team with a power coach, Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel's known as a guy that would slow it down, pound the ball, loves bigs. He loves Andre Drummond. He'll take another one. He's a great big man coach, and he likes to slow it down and pound. And that is LeBron as he's aged. That's AD, and that's Andre Drummond. Even Rondo can be physical. Dennis Schroeder can be physical. Brooklyn's a finesse team. Kyrie Irving is an awful defensive player. Harden's an awful defensive player. Durant's not an awful defensive player, but he's more of a finesse seven-footer who can shoot, and probably the greatest shooting big in the history of the game. But it's really interesting. So they played Saturday night. Now, the teams weren't healthy, but LeBron and AD were not there, and the Lakers pounded Brooklyn physically. Dennis Schroeder did whatever he wanted before he was ejected. Andre Drummond did whatever he wanted. And are we falling into a trap that I did last year? I loved the Clippers last year, but they never played together. They never played together. Remember the Clippers last year? They're 12-1 when healthy. Yeah, the problem is they were never healthy. And then they got to the playoffs, and Doc Rivers told me a month ago on my podcast, he said, we just never played together. You cannot find your chemistry in the playoffs. The playoffs, it's like a magnifying glass to bad skin. The playoffs, they take your little flaws and expose all of them. So the big three in Brooklyn have played together 7 games. That's it. So we know this Brooklyn team is awful defensively. They just got Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. Those guys don't play defense either. Kyrie doesn't. Harden doesn't. KD can, but you don't want KD grinding it on the defensive end. He's the great closer in the game. So it's a bad defensive team with a coaching staff and Mike D'Antoni and Steve Nash who were allergic to defense. Remember when they were together in Phoenix, Nash the player, D'Antoni the coach? No defense. It is a finesse basketball team that doesn't like defense and doesn't have chemistry yet. What are the Lakers? A power team that has unbelievable chemistry. They've had great chemistry. And so it's just very interesting when we see power and defense and chemistry play these finesse offenses. And by the way, we know Brooklyn's talented. And in the East, just nobody matches up with them. But let's worry about the West, because if you look at their three best players, KD gets hurt a lot. Kyrie is undependable emotionally, and Harden needs the whistle in the playoffs. None of those have changed. And I just think it's very interesting is Brooklyn is good enough to literally rest two of their stars and win, and they are. But boy, when you watch them Saturday, you can see a little Baylor Gonzaga. You can see a little Buccaneers Chiefs in that where the power to, we're all caught up in, oh, who will be able to guard these guys? Who will Kyrie, Harden, and KD be able to guard? Vogel has a history. I remember when Vogel had Roy Hibbert, an undependable Paul George, and gave Miami, Wade Bosch, and LeBron fits. Slowed it down. Pound the ball. You know, stick somebody around the rim. Don't let Kyrie and Harden score at the rim. It's just interesting is that we got a finesse team with no chemistry developed. Good luck finding that in the playoffs. That is just a bad place to try to magically create chaos. Clippers had the best roster in the league last year. They looked awful all postseason.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content guy, MMQB, joining us now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right, so we'll start with this. You have the details, the nitty-gritty, on my guy Sam Darnold going to Carolina. You have a story about how it went down, which, by the way, we thought it was a good move. We thought if he was available in this draft, he would be considered one of the top quarterbacks. So how did it go down?
Well, really, there are three flashpoints, Colin, and I think it's no secret that the owner, David Tepper, put some pressure on the football people to try to find a solution at the quarterback position, and it was pretty clear early on in the offseason that they didn't view Teddy Bridgewater as that solution. So, really, I think you want to look at three flashpoints. Number one, they put together a massive offer for Matthew Stafford. They offered the 8th overall pick, a 3rd rounder, and Teddy Bridgewater. Ultimately, the Rams wind up outbidding them, so they strike out there. Then they were very aggressive in looking at Deshaun Watson. Obviously, that situation is what it is, and they couldn't go forward with it the same way that maybe they had previously. And then the third piece of this really was the 49ers trade. And all they had to do was start counting and looking at how the quarterbacks were going to come off the board. And you're looking at it, and you're saying, okay, quarterback at 1, quarterback at 2, quarterback at 3, maybe a quarterback at 4, and then another team could jump in front of us. So now the potential is there that that there's not going to be a quarterback that we value at 8. And if we wait now, there's a good chance we're going to come out of this with Teddy Bridgewater and not a whole lot else. And so they had kind of kept the lines of communication open with the Jets going back to the middle of February. And really liked a lot of things about Sam Darnold. There were some connections in the organization to Darnold. Matt Rhule had talked to Sam Darnold when the Jets were looking at hiring Rhule a couple of years ago. And so things kind of came together there. And, the best way that I think to describe Sam Darnold going to Carolina right now is the Panthers are sort of throwing a dart at that quarterback board. They like him a lot, but he also doesn't constrict them from doing anything else in the position that they might want to do.
All right. Multiple reporters I respect are now conflicted on San Francisco at 3. Some are saying it is Mac Jones. Peter King is saying, oh, no, it's not yet. What do we know about the Niners moving up to 3 in their quarterback selection?
I mean, I've been told for a couple weeks now that they really viewed 5 quarterbacks in this draft as having first-round ability. Now, obviously, 2 of those are going to be off the board. We're all presuming those 2 are going to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. And, part of the reason why the Niners wanted to do the deal early and move up early and be aggressive about it when they were was so that they could kind of finish off the process and not have to hide, not have to kind of duck around to get information. They wanted to be able to do all of this out there in the open. And a big piece of it is getting to see the guys throw live. So they've already done that with Mac Jones. They'll get to do it with Justin Fields this week on Wednesday. And they'll get to do it with Trey Lance a week from today in Fargo. And here's what's really interesting about it, Colin. I do not deny that they like Mac Jones. There's a lot there that matches what Kyle Shanahan has liked in quarterbacks and valued in quarterbacks in the past. Consider this, though. For both Justin Fields and Trey Lance, right, those second pro days are not going to be run by the throwing coaches. So John Beck's not running Justin Fields' pro day, and Quincy Avery isn't running Trey Lance's pro day. Both of those guys have agreed to let the NFL coaches on hand run those pro days. So the Niners are literally going to be able to go to Columbus and go to Fargo and tell those guys what to do. Here's what we need to see. And so I think this has really given the Niners a chance to take a look at two guys who I think most scouts would argue have more upside than Mac Jones in Trey Lance and Justin Fields and get a really thorough evaluation. It's all because they were able to do that deal early.
All right, Atlanta number 4. I don't believe they will either take a quarterback because they'll trade out of it, or if they do have a pick, they probably won't get a quarterback. What are you hearing? Kyle Pitts, to me, after the quarterbacks are taken, is the only lock in this draft or one of a very short list. Your thoughts?
I've heard there's robust discussion in the organization about it. And I do think that there will be a quarterback that they like there at 4. The question is whether or not they like it, they like that quarterback enough to sort of reset their timeline organizationally. And the interesting thing about the Falcons, Colin, if you look at their roster, they need cheap young talent on that roster. But if you look at like the seven or eight best players in the team, there's actually a really strong core there, you know? And so if they can fill out the rest of the roster, there's reason to believe that they could win over the next couple of years and then maybe look at the quarterback decision, the quarterback transition in 2023, 2024. And you add that to the way that they've mortgaged Matt Ryan's contract. Separating from Matt Ryan's not going to be easy logistically from a financial standpoint either. And so these are all things that are being considered. And it's not just about how much they may like Trey Lance or Justin Fields. More so, it's about how that fits into where they are as a team. And I got to tell you, I mean, you know, you look at the other two options, the idea of adding Kyle Pitts to an offense that already has a lot of high picks on the offensive line and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, or trading down and being able to add a bunch of role players to a roster that's pretty decent. You can see why the Falcons might look at that and say, you know, if we feel like this core has got a chance to win, maybe we ought to give it a go for the next year or two and then reassess the quarterback position down the line.
By the way, there was a story last week. An agent, a coach, an executive, a scout were asked about Aaron Rodgers and the management in Green Bay, the relationship, which we all know is tense. Okay, we're not going to deny that. I mean, there's been stuff published for multiple years on that. Even Matt LaFleur comes in. It's not McCarthy. It's still tense. So one of the agent, I thought, had the most interesting thing to say. And the agent was like, I've talked to Green Bay. They're like, we'd love to do a deal, but, you know, we have to get some things reworked. Well, Aaron's the number one cap hit in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Number one. I mean, Brady's like 120, right? Like, so it is somewhat of an issue. What do you make of that story? What do you make of the idea? You know, the agent basically said he thinks Green Bay has gone to Aaron, and Aaron's like, stubborn. That was kind of his guess. Your thoughts?
Well, here's what's interesting about it, Colin. This is a nuance, and Aaron's not the only one who has this sort of thing in his contract. But you know, I actually went and found the actual language, and it even has like Aaron Rodgers' initials at the bottom of it. That's filed to the league and to the union, and the language in the contract reads that the Packers can automatically reconfigure his contract and take what's base salary money, convert it into bonus money, and automatically save $9 million on their salary cap right now, today. They have not done that. They don't need to go ask permission from him. It's something that can be done automatically and as part of the contract. So I think then your question becomes, well, why haven't they done that?
Right.
And that could play into like the approach of in team building, because if you move that money forward, now all of a sudden you're mortgaging it. That bill is going to come due at some point. And the Packers typically haven't built their team that way. Aaron Rodgers wants them to act with some urgency. And I think, you know, he looked at the way that he was eliminated and the team that eliminated him from the playoffs and the urgency with which the Bucs have built around Tom Brady and said, I want some of that. Well, how have the Bucs been able to pull that off, building with urgency? You know what they did, Colin? They mortgaged a bunch of contracts. They pushed money forward. They said, we're going to worry about that stuff when Tom Brady's gone. And so that's what's so interesting about this, is that the Packers have an automatic lever in that contract that allows them to do to Aaron Rodgers' contract what the Bucs have done to a bunch of contracts, to build with more urgency, and the Packers have not yet done it. So I think that's like sort of a nuance here and something that everyone should keep an eye on as we go forward, because I do think that they could sit down with Aaron and say, we're going to do this, and here's how we're going to use the money we've saved. That hasn't happened yet, and I'm not sure why.
Albert Breer on a Monday. Thanks, man. Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Kevin Durant. I am a big believer. I watch your actions. I don't really care about your words. I mean, I'll listen to your words, but your actions tell me what matters to you. Okay. That's why when Drew Brees said something that ticked his teammates off, my takeaway is, well, his actions over the last 15 years have been great for the state of Louisiana, great for New Orleans, great for teammates, black teammates, white teammates. I'm not going to kill a guy because he has a bad comment. His actions told me he was a good teammate. He was a good person. He's given to a lot of charity. Kevin Durant's funny. He has this quote this week. It's not the end all be all why I play the game to win championships. That's funny because your actions are kind of different. Didn't you leave Oklahoma City? I mean, you were having fun there because you weren't winning championships. I mean, why would you leave there? You had a Hall of Fame teammate. The coach was great. The city loved you. It sold out every game. You couldn't beat LeBron. You couldn't get to the championship. Why are you keep joining forces with Steph Curry? Because it wasn't because you'd been to San Francisco and loved it. It wasn't because you had a relationship with Steph Curry or Draymond Green. You and Steve Kerr never really got along. You went there to win championships. That was your actions. And by the way, then you go to Brooklyn and you recruit Kyrie Irving and to some degree James Harden. Well, James Harden has never been the easiest guy to play with, and Kyrie can go missing in action at any point. So you didn't join him for chemistry. You joined him for championships. So your actions are you keep moving around because you want to be the man and win championships, which I don't have a problem with. Aaron Rodgers does this a little too. It's a little convenient. Aaron will say this. Well, there's more than just winning championships. Well, then why does Aaron get upset with Packer management when they don't sign really good players so he can beat Tom Brady? Like Brady and LeBron, so much of being great is mentality. Like Russell Wilson's obsessed. Kobe was obsessed. LeBron's obsessed. Brady's obsessed. Brees was obsessed. And listen, if KD and Aaron Rodgers aren't obsessed, I'm good. But both of your actions, both of you, by the way, can be passive-aggressive, disappointed often, don't take well to criticism. Well, why? If it didn't matter, if ratings and revenue didn't matter to me in radio, and that's mostly what it's about, my industry, radio is not about the critics liking you. How are my ratings? How's my revenue? Check, check. If they're good, Joy and I are happy. But if I didn't care about that, then I would never care about any criticism. But I listen to criticism because I want the show to be good. I want my advertisers to be happy. I want to get a rating. Just acknowledge it. Don't be like finished second place in life and conveniently, yeah, it doesn't mean that much. I mean, I asked her out on a date. She said no, but yeah, I didn't really like her anyway. You asked her for a reason. You were attracted. You thought you could get an opportunity to, whatevs, and it didn't happen. Just own it. But when Kevin says, you know, winning championships is not the be-all, end-all, that is not your career. You keep bouncing around to places to win championships. He talks about his personal growth. Personal growth's a lot more funny with a trophy. It's a lot. Personal growth is fine for Aaron and KD. It's way better. Tom Brady's got personal growth and trophies. LeBron's got personal growth and trophies. So give me a break. You went to Brooklyn. Why didn't you go to Brooklyn by yourself if it was all about personal growth? Just go by yourself. Oh, you got Kyrie, who, by the way, is a hard guy to play with. Hard in Boston, hard on LeBron. You went there for one reason. Kyrie is super talented. One of the great finishers in the history of the NBA under 6'3". He may be the best ever. And you know that. And you know the playoffs are about finishing. So I'm not into, you know, conveniently, I don't care as much as you think. Just come out and say it. It sucks losing to LeBron. It's no fun not winning. I mean, did you see Aaron Rodgers' face when he walked up to Tom, when Tom beat him in Lambeau? Did Aaron look happy? Did it look like, winning is, you know, it's like number four? It seemed to me Aaron hated it. Their mentality means a lot. Just come clean on it. Otherwise, Aaron wouldn't get mad at Packer management, and KD, you just stay in Oklahoma City. This is about winning. You know, I've heard people say this about industries. Well, I just do it for fun. Have fun in your own time. When I'm looking to hire people for this show, I want to have fun. Get a dog. Go to the park. This is work. It's not fun. Some days it's fun. Joy and I laugh a lot. This is work. You want to have fun? Griffith Park's right around the corner. It's a good time. Take a Frisbee. Have a time of your life. All right, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour. Boy, the Browns add another player, Jadeveon Clowney. Looks like he's going to become a Brown. That's a good football team. Cleveland is a Cleveland fans were like, hey, gonna have to pick us to win the AFC North. Yeah, I just did last week. Cleveland is going to win the AFC. Cincinnati's not good enough. Pittsburgh has got too many issues. And you'll battle with Baltimore to the end. But right now, Cleveland has a better roster than everybody in the NFL, not named Tampa Bay, Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then it's a, I'm not sure if there's another one. I'm not sure. All right, hour two on a Monday, live in L.A. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
And here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Lakers, what do you know? Latest reports after they hammered Brooklyn, AD and LeBron, they're going to return with 10 games left. Isn't that what we called last week on the show? We said, as long as the Lakers keep winning, why would you hurry and bring brittle AD and old LeBron back? They've won five of their last eight. They hammered Brooklyn. And immediately the story's out. Well, we're going to bring them. And 10 games left is about what we guessed, because that's about the time you need to kind of get LeBron and AD in game shape, get the cobwebs off, you re-energize. It's just so it's so predictable.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mac Jones going third, according to Adam Schefter. I don't get it. I mean, listen, if you draft Mac Jones anywhere in the first round, I understand that, right? You need a quarterback. But to give up three first-round picks for a 6'2", 217-pound unathletic quarterback in a great quarterback class, I don't get it. And I'm rooting for the guy. Now, I do think whoever San Francisco gets at quarterback will have some success. Like you don't know how the president would have been that you didn't elect. You don't know if Mac Jones is successful, if he would have been more successful than, you know, Justin Fields. But I mean, to me, you give up three first round picks for a really transcendent talent, not for a quarterback that a lot of scouts are totally split on.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I said several times, I love Russell Wilson, but I said, listen, you want more players, take a pay cut. Same with Aaron Rodgers. And last week, an agent came out and confirmed it on a story by ESPN that he has called the Packers and the Packers have called him and they can't do anything because they don't have any room because Aaron's the number one cap hit in the league, which Aaron has earned the money. But Patrick Mahomes just restructured his deal and Brady continually restructures his deal. So to me, if Russell and Aaron want better players, there is a solution. Call your agent. Take more guaranteed, push some back, and you'll get better players.
Where Colin was wrong.
I liked when Carolina went and acquired Teddy Bridgewater, but a year later, Matt Rhule is out. Matt Rhule wants to push the ball down the field. That's why they acquired speedy Robbie Anderson at wide receiver. And they do not believe Teddy Bridgewater does that. Listen, he's got a high completion percentage. But increasingly in the NFL, you have to be dynamic at quarterback. Now, dynamic can look like a lot of things. It can look like Lamar Jackson. It can look like Josh Allen. It can look like Tom Brady. But Bridgewater, as good as he is, had 15 touchdown passes in 15 games, and that's with an excellent wide receiving and running back group.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've been on the Kyle Pitts bandwagon almost since the end of college football, the Florida tight end, because I watch a lot of SEC football. Now everybody's on it. Jerry Jones reportedly wants to move up to get him. Atlanta at number four, a story today, they will take him. Listen, if you watched SEC football, Kyle Pitts was not only the best athlete, but as a tight end, he was dominating first-round cornerback prospects, meaning little guys who run fast couldn't keep up with him. He is the best prospect in the draft. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't get hurt. It doesn't mean he couldn't have a bad coach. But if he lands with a good quarterback and a decent system, he will be Chase Young to Washington. He will pop within six games.
Where Colin was right.
Even Charles Barkley is now agreeing with me on the most underrated player in the last 10 years, Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns.
Listen, early in the season, LeBron was MVP and Joel Embiid. Then James Harden was the MVP. You guys got to start giving my guy Chris Paul love for MVP, man. Agreed. Y'all got to give my guy love for MVP.
He was fantastic last night.
He's been fantastic all season.
The problem, of course, is Chris Paul averages 16 points and 9 assists and does the little things as well as any point guard in my life. It's very John Stockton. Plays defense, could score 19, 20, doesn't need to, bark at you, pressure. I mean, John Stockton and Chris Paul, you never, ever hear anybody talk about John Stockton. He's arguably the second best point guard ever. Chris Paul's been the best pure point guard in the NBA 10 years. He's never a topic. Thank you, Charles.
Where Colin was wrong.
Gonzaga got hammered by Baylor in the title game and not only got beat, it was 11-1 5 minutes in and it was over. Listen, I thought the Zags offense was the best I'd seen in college in my recent memory, but both UCLA and Baylor got really aggressive, put a body on all their players, and took them to some degree out of their rhythm. UCLA to some degree. Baylor totally took Gonzaga out of their rhythm. And the Bears, not just won, I never thought they would just roll over Gonzaga, and they did.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we predicted a day before it happened that Sam Darnold would go to the Carolina Panthers, and that's where he landed. In fact, we called it twice, once the day before. Listen, one of our leading reasons was they were just stuck kind of in the mud at quarterback. They were 7-9, 5-11, 5-11, and they have an aggressive billionaire owner. And the stories came out after the owner went to him and said, let's get better at quarterback. We're boring people. And that was my thing. Listen, these owners, you know, they'll tell you they love the plan until the plan gets boring and you're the most boring team in your division, and that's what they are. And I think whether or not Sam Darnold succeeds, he is 23 and he's kind of the opposite of Teddy Bridgewater. He makes mistakes. He's really athletic. He's big and strong physically. So they'll be more talked about and more interesting. And I actually think with Robbie Anderson, he fits this coaching staff.
Where Colin was right.
The one move at the NBA trading deadline I really like was Aaron Gordon, not a scoring machine, but he's a very athletic wing. He matches up with LeBron James, and he has been terrific. They are 7-1 since he arrived. He's averaging 12 points, but on 57% efficiency. Aaron Gordon is never going to be their leading scorer. That's not why you brought him over. But he's, to me, what Utah could use or Portland. He's an athletic wing. You put him on LeBron. You make LeBron work for his points. And I thought it was the only trade deadline move that actually could change the playoffs. And Aaron has been exactly what he was in Orlando and the places he's been. But the difference is now you're watching him. And so now he's on a really good basketball team. To me, the third best team in the league. It goes Lakers, Brooklyn, and then Denver.
Where Colin was wrong.
My mustache needs to be called out. It was an egregious affront to broadcasting. And when my dog started looking at me sideways, I knew it was just a bridge too far. And so last week I said, you know what? That is not, no great broadcasters. I look like a magician.
You do not.
And I was like,
I like the mustache look.
You know what I look like? Somebody that's going to come to your table in Caesars and do a sleight of hand trick. Look at that right there. My sister kept calling, you look just like Dad. And I love Dad, but I want to look like me.
You don't not look like someone that's going to have a really great pitch.
That's funny. I am. Now, it may be to buy a Subaru.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's nothing that you want, but like, it's going to be a great pitch, though.
That guy coming down the street has got a pitch.
Yes.
Can't wait.